in store for us in 2015. That's not just a cliche. I am looking at the evidence of what 2014 has brought us to. There are stories that are being completed. If a story does not have a building point, a pinnacle, a climax, something in the middle of it, keeps you drawn to it, you'll just throw the book aside. But I'm telling you, I look at different things that have happened. I look at what we built on in our church with the leading family that we have. I look at how God has blessed. And I look at how He's brought many in and how He's brought us to certain areas in our life. And I look at the potential that we have for winning souls. And I'm telling you, I'm excited about 2015. Brother William, I'm excited about the potential we have to win the Spanish community in 2015. I'm excited about the potential we have at winning young people in 2015. I'm telling you, there's a great bit of things that God has in store for us. All that God is wanting is our participation. All that God desires is our obedience. All that God wants is for us to say, "Here I am, God, send me." Amen. Amen. And that's what I want. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to book of Genesis, chapter 6, and verse 8. Amen. We're going to take a quick, I guess, Bible study lesson. But I want this to be the first thing in your mind whenever you face 2015. To know this is what God is expecting of us. This is what God is expecting of the church. Amen. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. I apologize, we don't have the screen behind us. You can set back up on the musical, but we'll have all that thing placed by the time. We'll have our first service. But Noah, thank God, somebody found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. I want to find grace in the eyes of the Lord, don't you? In 2015, I want the grace of God to smile on my life and my family. Amen. I want it to smile in my finances. I want it to smile in my soul-winning attempts. I want Him to look at me. And at the end, the culmination of my life, I want Him to say, "Well done, thou good and thou faithful servant." Amen. I want to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17 and verse 26. Luke 17 and 26. And the Bible said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man." So, as it was in the days of Noah, what happened to Noah's day? Well, in the days of Noah, sin abounded. Sin was everywhere. It's on the billboard. It's in the magazine. It's on the job. It's in my neighborhood. It's in my families. And I am fighting back to keep it out of my personal family. Sin's abound. It's everywhere. There is a blatant disregard for godliness and righteousness. That was in Noah's day. In this day as well. So, in Noah's day, the thoughts of man was on evil continually. We just thought it was bad when we had television to worry about. Then all of a sudden something comes along called the internet. And 24/7, whatever your appetite is, you can feast it on that. So tell me, 24 hours a day, thoughts of man was on the evil continuing. That was Noah's day. But can I tell you that as it was in the day of Noah, and it's going to be also in the days of the Son of Man, Noah and his family found grace. And I'm talking to a church tonight that in the midst of where sin is abounding, the grace of God is much more abounding. Hallelujah. In Noah's day, there was a time span. There was a door of opportunity that was available. And so it is in our day. There is a door of opportunity to an ark of safety that's available. Amen. For just a short space of time, I want to talk about today, Noah's grace for today. Hallelujah. If you would, take your Bibles, lay them down. Let's pray and ask God to have His way in the name of the service. God, would you help us today? Oh God, take us into 2015 with the right mind, with a sure word and a solid foundation, that the kingdom of God would be done. God, we believe you today. Talk to us. Help us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Like I said, I want to work your benefit and get all shined up and come out. Don't want to hold you long. I realize you may have family in town or you may have other things that you've got going on just being the holiday season. But I do want to leave a little something with you. Like I said, I'm not going to be very long. Amen. Noah's grace. I love biblical archaeology. It fascinates me. I dug into some information I found about the archaeological record of in Jerusalem about the lives of King David. And I just find that so fascinating. Brother William, one day, if you and I ever get to go to Israel, I'm going to let you take me to all these places. We're going to basically let the Old Testament come alive before our eyes. Because I just think that is an amazing, amazing thing. To see the hill that Moses would have stood on to view the promised land. To go over and walk the Via Dolorosa, the pathway that Jesus carried the cross down. To stand at the foot of Calvary, the Golgotha, the place of the skull, and actually see what it looked like and understand why the Bible called it these things. This fascinates me. One day I hope to see that. But when we get to looking into the archaeological record of the different things, whether it be the crossing of the Red Sea, and they have testimony, they have relics and Egyptian chariots that they have dug up from the Red Sea, and they wondered how in the world these chariots get out to the middle of the Red Sea, and they found that there was like a landmass that was in some place very shallow, maybe a couple of hundred feet deep, and it's thousands of feet deep on either side of this natural land bridge that it's just fascinating that these things prove again and again of how accurate and how correct the Old Testament is. And one thing that has really baffled people for a long time is the presence of Noah's Ark. This is a large box, boat, barge, whatever you want to call this, that obviously would have stood some sort of a test of time. They said that gopher wood that they made this ark out of was obviously of some type of wood that's unknown today. Post-flood event. Probably doesn't even exist in our world. That the reason why God would have chosen this wood was because of its resiliency to water damage and rot and wear. Of that sort. And so there are all kinds of questions people have today. But I can tell you this. If God makes a plan, and if God says do this and do that, and it all comes together exactly like God says, it's going to remain. If God is in it, whether it be a church, whether it be a family, whether it be a ministerial outreach effort, it's going to remain. And so if God was in this, and we know He was, it's going to remain. And so people have been scouring the mountains of Ararat for ages and ages trying to find proof of Noah's Ark. But just because they have not found proof does not disprove that it did not happen. Even though a lot of the atheist scientists and everything would try to say that is the case. And so we have basically three different archaeological digs that have come forth with stories saying that they have found Noah's Ark. I don't believe they have, but I do find it very interesting, the information that they do bring back. Josephus was a historical writer about 1,000 years ago that wrote some information that said the last of the remnant of the Ark was drug off the mountains of Ararat many, many years ago and disposed of or taken around the world as proof that the Ark lived. But there are also two other different expeditions that have brought what they believe is evidence of the Ark still within the mountains of Ararat. But I bring that up to bring this case, that there is a God that has a plan for His people, that has a plan to divinely preserve His people through no matter what comes their way. No matter if it's troubles and trials in your life, or if you're facing a worldwide catastrophe, God is in the preserving business. And as long as we stick to God's plan, amen, it's going to bring us through in the end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so God has grace. The Bible said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's grace. Tells us, dictionary says, grace is unmerited favor. It is virtue coming from God. It is a special favor. It is privilege. It is also a pardon. This grace that comes from God. Things we can learn from the story of Noah about the grace that he received. The first thing we understand about the story of Noah is that sin will be judged. When God looks down at sin, He realizes that sin must be judged. He is a righteous judge. There is nothing that comes before Him that is sin that cannot get away innocent. And that's why He created a remedy on Calvary's cross. Hallelujah. Before it is judged, though, before the flood came as the final judgment, grace was available for those who would heed the call of God to obtain it. Amen. Can I tell you that grace has a plan that must be followed? Amen. Grace says, yes, you can get away from the judgment to come, but there are certain steps you got to take, amen, to get around the judgment that is to be there. Amen. Grace has a plan, and it must be followed. Amen. God gave the plans to Noah, and they had to be strictly adhered to. Amen. If he wanted to change the plan, maybe he looked at it and he said, you know, I really don't want the ark to be that long because I don't care anything about elephants. Their hide's too tough to eat and they'll run over my children. Then if he would change the plans of the ark, there are engineers today that they said that the ark would not have floated in any kind of waves because the length ratio was exactly perfect for the amount of displacement there would have in the water. I tell you, God knows what He's doing when He gives you a plan. Hallelujah. And so Noah could have said, well, you know, I don't want gopher wood because gopher wood is in another country, another land far, far away. Why don't I just build it here with some birch? Why don't I just build it with some pine that's right here? Why don't I just build it with what's convenient for me? No, that's not in God's plan. God's plan says, go for wood, Noah. God's plan says, you got to pitch it within and without. Well, you know, God, that's a lot of work. Why don't I just cut the work in half? The water's on the outside. I'll just pitch it on the outside of the ark. No, if you're going to do God's plan, grace has a plan for you. And if you're going to find grace in the eyes of God, you've got to take the steps that grace demands you to take. And in the end, you're going to find salvation for your family and for your soul.
Amen.
God was very specific with the type of wood. He was very specific with the size, the cubits, the length, the width, and the height. He was very specific with one door into the ark and one window above, one cubit above the ark. He was very specific with the pitch on the inside and without. And this was the plan. This was the grace that Noah and his family were saved by. Amen. Likewise today, there is a plan of grace for us to abide by. There is a plan. There are steps of salvation that we have to adhere to if we want to find salvation for us and our family. Amen. To be saved. It is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It is repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins and being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. There is a methodical step to salvation and grace when it comes to your life. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Amen. You're going to see grace. But grace is going to have steps that you're going to have to take and going to have to abide by if you're going to see this grace partaken and put into your life. Amen. Or else the idea that you bring forth, any other plan, any other way, just ain't going to flow. Amen. When you respond, point two, when you respond to the grace of God in your life, it changes your nature. There were animals that were drawn to the ark. They came because there was a fitting, there was a yearning, there was a drawing, there was a calling to them to come to an ark of safety. They didn't know that there was anything about judgment to come. They didn't know anything about a worldwide catastrophe. They didn't know. All they knew is, I've got to get on the ark. Me and my wife, we got to get to an ark of safety. We've got to get there. Amen. I don't understand why, but I'm being drawn in this area. I'm being drawn out of areas where I grew up and what was comfortable for me. I'm being drawn out of lands, maybe. I don't know how far the elephants and the ostriches and the kangaroos. I don't know how far they all had to come to find an ark. But in the end, if grace was going to be in their life, just like it was in Noah's life and his family, they had to get up from where they were, change their surroundings, and find themselves one day in the ark of safety. Hallelujah. Amen. And we find that once they got in there, that once they've got part of grace in their life, their very nature was changed. Amen. You could see the lions lay down with the lamb. You could see the tigers lay alongside the gazelle. You could see all these animals that were once ferocious and once wild and once fearsome creatures. They could lay side by side with the gentlest of animals. You know why? Because God changed their very nature. And when you come into church, I don't care what your background was. I don't care what your history was. I don't care what your upbringing and upbringing was. I don't care what you've been around. God changes your very nature. And then when grace is imparted unto you, you don't act the same way you used to act. You don't live the same way you used to live. Because grace is a part of your lifestyle now. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm right. So what do you do in a time of grace? Well, a few days ago, you know, short span. But there was a door open. Now, so it is in the days of summer, coming to summer. There is a door, a window of opportunity open unto you. Of this world. Yeah. You know what you do in the time of grace? You respond. Respond like those others. You respond like Noah and his sons and his sons' wives and his wife. You do whatever it takes to get yourself into the ark. To get yourself into the ark of Satan. Amen. I don't know what Noah's job was before God called him. 480 years old to build an ark. I don't know what his job was. He may have been a goat herder. He may have been a tiller of the ground. I don't know. But if you can imagine, if you've never built anything with your hands before, this is probably a monumental task.
And so we know that he was a faithful man of God. And so as all faithful men of God do when they are put with challenges in their life, they find a place to get over. And they get from God what they need to face the challenge before them. And so, whatever skills he lacked, he said to himself, God provide as needed. You see, it's the work of God gets done. So Noah says, I'm responding to the call of God in my life. Now, Noah's response to the call of God determined if his wife and children would survive. I can respond half-hearted. I can respond lukewarmly. I can respond wholeheartedly. It all determines whether or not my family's going to live. Hallelujah. Amen. If you were challenged to build a life raft for the saving of your home, would you take shortcuts? Would you skip steps? Would you only follow half of the rules? If you were challenged to build a life raft, we will do everything that it would take to see that our family saved. You see, there were specific designs set for Noah to follow. Let's just talk about the door, for example. This door. This one thing that everything that was to be saved had to go through that door. They couldn't find another way on. There was no other path or route to get inside the ship. It had to go through the door. John 10:9, the Bible says, Jesus speaking, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. In Acts 4:12, the Bible said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I tell you, there is one way into the church. There is one way in. Any other way, amen, you're not going to find it. I've said any other way is out as a thief and as a robber. Amen. Genesis 7:16 said, and they went, and they that went in male and female, all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him. You know who controls the door? To your dispensation, to your access to grace. And there are times that he says, you know what? It's time to shut the door. Time to close up the grace. I had it open. 120 years, Noah. It was time. You wanted to get on the boat. This is your opportunity. There was a window that was open. God opens the window, opens the door, and God shuts the door. Revelation 3:7 said, unto the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and he that shutteth, and no man openeth. Hey, I don't care what kind of crowbar you have. When God shut the door to the ark, you're not getting in. That was all she said. Amen. When God shuts the door to the time of grace we are now in, amen, you'll no longer find it working in the earth. It is over. So the question is, what do we do while we're in time of grace? What do we do while we're in the example of Noah's grace for today? Well, 1 Peter 3:20 said, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. The long suffering of God waited for grace. While the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. There was the long suffering of God during that small time period, Noah's day, that anybody could have been saved, but only 8 responded. Only eight responded. 2 Peter 3:9 said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's for today. So, what do we do while it's still time? You help lead all those being wrong to an ark of safety. Come on, let me show you how to go over here. Show you how to find the door to get into your ark of safety. That's what we're going to do. And in 2015, we're going to teach Bible school. We're going to witness like we've never witnessed before. Amen. We had such a great turnout at our Christmas banquet this year with the city. I'm believing to see better things, greater things in 2015 than we've seen last year. Let's go ahead and stand up. I'm closing. Hallelujah. Amen. 2015 is going to be our year of grace and opportunity to see God work like He's never worked before through our church. Amen. We've got good godly leadership. Hallelujah. And I believe God is beginning to open some doors of opportunity for us on our jobs, into the city, into areas of the city. I'm just here with an open heart saying, "God, here am I." Amen. Is that what you believe today? Let's go ahead and come around the front. And let's close out this service. I told you. And let's just ask God, as we close out this year, God, 2015, whatever you want to do, use us. While we are in a time of grace, and you are bidding souls come this way, God, use us. Let us show somebody where the door is. Would you help us? Come on, let's pray. God, help us. God, as we move into a new year, I would you help us to be soul winners. Help us.